following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good day to you all. Thank you for joining us for another Refuge Daily. It's Thursday, and I'm here with you guys today, Pastor Jonathan, and we're going to be diving into our series on the Beatitudes. As I'm here every other week or so, we'll be going into another one of the Beatitudes and then on through the Sermon on the Mount through this series. So today we're going to jump right in Matthew chapter 5. Remember, this is the best sermon ever, okay? Jesus, it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We're going to take a look at these two today. And, you know, when we think about that word blessed, we constantly are like, okay, oh, blessed, blessed, blessed. Oh, how are you doing? I'm blessed. You have, you know, hashtag blessed and all these other things that people use. But what does that word really mean, to be blessed? What we typically see it on is, I see it a lot on Instagram posts or anything that that are like, oh, look at my new car, hashtag blessed. Look at my new house, my new apartment, my new clothes that I have, or I had this great trip, this great experience, because I'm blessed. But that word blessed means more than just like, oh, I had a great thing happen, or oh, I'm so thankful that God has done something for me. It means to be truly, deeply filled with joy, happy. And happiness, though, it can be, you know, based on our outward experiences. I could be very happy if I'm able to go and, say, spend a week hiking in Yosemite, or if I got a new car, I'd be very happy. But is it really joy? Am I truly blessed because I have these things? And here we have this first of the Beatitudes, and it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think about when I look and see, how does society tend to look upon the poor in really anything? But when we look upon the poor, it's almost like, what did you do wrong to end up so poor? You know, if you'd only applied yourself more in school, or only tried harder at work, or, you know, when we look at those who are, say, homeless and out on the streets, our society as a whole does not look upon those who are poor in a favorable light. Those that are homeless, or those that are, you know, not filled with the riches of this world. We look and we're like, hey, this is, you know, you messed up. And there's a lot of pressure, especially here in the United States, to have lots of money and material things. We're filled with this desire to constantly have more, more, more. Right? It's all about how much you make, what you do, how you own, how big is the house, how new is the car, how much new clothing you have. There is this constant materialistic pressure to have more. The question I have to ask is, if your family were to lose everything, all of your material possessions, if you were to lose your home, if you were to lose your cars, if you were to lose all of your possessions, we've been seeing this happen a lot right now up in Northern California in particular, and Washington and Oregon, with the fires that are just raging through the entire Western United States, as people return home with the clothes on their back to find that the rest of their house is destroyed. The question I have is, if this were to happen to you, how would your happiness be affected? I'm sure most of us would be just devastated, would be distraught, would not be happy in any way, but we could still be filled with joy. We can still be blessed. Again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there it is right here, Jesus, right at the very beginning of the best sermon ever, makes his disciples start to think in a different way. According to Jesus, those who are blessed and those who are truly happy are those who are poor in spirit. But poor, think about this. How can this be? Is it possible that we really don't understand rich and poor in light of God's views? And in fact, in Luke's version, of this, of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, and that Jesus taught, that blessed are the poor. Not the poor in spirit, but blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I really think that we don't fully understand as believers what God means with rich and poor. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. In Revelation 2, 9, it says this, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, John was writing and this letter from Jesus to the church in Smyrna there, and he says, you guys, I know that you're under tremendous persecution, that you're being killed by the Roman authorities, that you're losing everything, you're losing your job, you're losing all this stuff, your afflictions and your poverty, I know about that, but I know that you are also very rich. John calls these Christians rich, even though they had lost everything. Because what was important was not whether or not they had the possessions, was not whether or not they had riches and financial security and a bank account or a thriving business, but whether or not they truly were walking with the Lord. It is possible to be both rich and poor at the same time. It's very possible for someone to be completely financially rich, but spiritually poor. And it's very possible for someone to be spiritually rich, even if they are financially poor. There's a lot out there, a lot of false teachers are out there that are equating financial success with spiritual blessings. But that's not the biblical model. That's not the biblical example. It's possible to be both rich and poor, rich in the spiritual things, even when you are poor. Going all the way back into the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In this passage, God had sent Samuel to look for the next king of Israel. And he sees the son of Jesse, and he sees him, and he's like, man, this guy's tall. He looks like he's a soldier. This guy's just, he's perfect. He's got that appearance, that royal appearance. But God says, nope, I've rejected him. And he rejected all of David's brothers and came to David, who was smaller, had been out with the sheep, who has got the job that nobody really wanted, being the stinky shepherd. But God says, that's the one. He's the one that has, he's a man after my heart. He's following after me. And that's something that God is genuinely concerned with. It's the condition of our heart. And that's important to understand because the heart, who we are on the inside, who we are, will continue even into eternity. That's what God is concerned with. He's not concerned with our outward appearance because that changes. We will be reborn into a new and imperishable body. Our looks will fade. Our hair will fall out or turn gray. We get more and more wrinkles on our skin and we can't, we're not as strong as we were or as fast as we were when we were younger. But one day we're going to have a new body. God's not concerned with our outward appearance. He's not concerned with the status of our bank account, meaning do you have thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars or millions of dollars in the bank account, or do you even have a bank account? Those aren't the primary concerns. God's worried about the heart because the heart is something that is eternal. So when Jesus talks about being poor in spirit, he's talking about someone's heart. Jesus is saying that a truly blessed person is someone who realizes that his or her heart is broken, is hungry, and poor without Christ. Why do you think he considers this to be such a blessing? Because it is when you have that poor in heart spirit, when your spirit is broken before the Lord, you rely upon Him for everything. You're not searching for your identity in your financial stability. You're searching for and finding your identity in Christ. Matthew 6, even here in the Sermon on the Mount, we're skipping ahead just a little bit, but part of the best sermon ever. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, he says this, Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Earthly wealth is good if we're going to use it in a way that honors God. But just storing it up to store it up, it's not really what God wants for us. Now, it's wise to have savings. It's wise to have a set aside an emergency fund. But hoarding it and holding it so tightly that you never use it for the kingdom of God, now that can become very dangerous because you put your trust and security in your idol of your finances. Instead, he says, store up treasures in heaven. Now, what kind of riches can we store in heaven? What riches does the Bible describe? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength, and it goes on here to talk about this rich inheritance that we have. We have this rich inheritance that we will rule with Christ. And so we should have our hope there. We have an inheritance. We inherit from the King of the universe. We are co-heirs with Christ. We get to partake in the glory of Christ. That's something that we can have, a riches, one of our riches that is stored up for us in heaven. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So here's some more riches that we can see here, that we can have an understanding of God, that we can have the knowledge of who God is. So again, we go back to Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's what we inherit. When we are poor in spirit, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. The glorious riches that are found in Christ are also given to us, both now while we're here on this earth and also for all of eternity in heaven. You know, I look at this and I say, this is amazing that we can have these riches, that we can have these amazing truths. And here's the bottom line from this here. When we recognize that we are spiritually poor without Jesus, we can inherit the riches of eternal life. It's what God promises to us right here in His Word. So let's pray and we'll close it out. Lord, we thank you so much for this chance to study what you gave as the best sermon ever, this Sermon on the Mount. And as we go through the Beatitudes over the coming weeks, may you be glorified and lifted high. And help us, Lord, to have this attitude of being poor in spirit so that we can gain and inherit the kingdom of heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll be back in a couple weeks again for another Refuge Daily as we jump into verse 4 with the next Beatitude. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.